pop culture to politics. This is the Michael Medved Show.
And another great day in this greatest nation on God's green earth, a great nation, a great day, despite the fact that one of our great and much admired movie stars, who actually plays a prominent office holder in one of her well-known roles, now says that the Constitution of the United States is deeply flawed because it specifically denies to women the same rights that are afforded to men, and it needs to be changed. What part of the Constitution? How? We will get to that on the Michael Medved Show. It's also a time when the leader of North Korea is riding a white horse to the top of a mystical mountain. It is. It's a sacred mountain in North Korea, and the tallest mountain in North Korea, and his father came down from that mountain. His father, and there was a huge star that apparently appeared in the sky when his father was born. His father, of course, being the son of the previous dictator, he being the son of Kim Jong-il. In any event, what is Kim Jong-un doing atop the mountain? We will get to that as well. Meanwhile, Ellen DeGeneres, who actually got a lot of praise, including some recognition on this show, for actually speaking up in behalf of civility and niceness, and there were lots of people on the left, trolls on the left, who were very angry with her because she was laughing with George W. Bush at a Dallas Cowboys game. There are all sorts of reasons to laugh at Cowboys games. Okay, she basically talked about you can get along with people, even if you disagree with them. Well, now she said something really stupid to make up for that, which seemed to me to be sensible. Is what she had to say was basically to honor the governor of California for what seems to me a totally unworkable and misguided policy. She said that this change by Governor Gavin Newsom was incredible. What change am I talking about? Well, here's the story as it's covered on CNN. Actually, on CBS. Millions of school kids all across California will be less likely to find themselves humiliated in front of classmates for owing money for school lunches. Isn't that amazing? That's so admirable to stop humiliation of school children. California Governor Gavin Newsom signed into law a measure that stipulates that all students get lunch regardless of whether their families are behind in paying meal fees. It also requires that pupils with lunch debt are not shamed or treated differently in any way. Okay, so what do you do? In other words, do you just abandon all the lunch debt? Now, for local school districts, this is a very big deal. The legislation requires that all public school students have a state reimbursable meal provided, even if their parent or guardian has unpaid meal fees. It amends a previous act that required students with lunch debt be offered alternative meals. Okay, the reason that Governor Newsom pushed this change to provide basically free meals for everybody, because that's what this means. I mean, ultimately, if you're saying you can't do anything, that a kid comes up and maybe hasn't paid a thing all year for his meals. He says, I'm hungry. Okay, here's your food. So why should the other kid waiting in line right behind him dutifully bring money from home? Or better yet, bring his own brown bag lunch that mom prepared. Or dad. How's that? Or they, if it's a non-binary family situation, which we hope it's not. The governor credited an elementary school student in Napa Valley for calling attention to how kids at his school were shamed and singled out because of inadequate funds in their school lunch accounts. Earlier this year, 9-year-old Ryan Coyote used his allowance savings to pay off his third grade class's lunch debt after watching a student who had to take back her hot lunch due to what her family owed. Now, okay, I agree it's a problem once the child has already received lunch. First of all, it involves wasting food because you can't really take back a hot lunch and then give it to somebody else. Can you? I don't know. Probably not. Speaking of Ryan Coyote, this 9-year-old, he showed how in many schools across the country, students whose parents are not able to pay for their lunch are given a cheaper alternative lunch. That causes them to stick out from their peers, Newsom said in a statement. In other words, the policy in California had not been that students would starve. They got cheese sandwiches. Because why? Cheese sandwiches are cheap and they're easy. They don't cost a lot of money. So is it so criminal that a child who doesn't pay gets a cheese sandwich? Governor's move drew praise from talk show host Ellen DeGeneres, who labeled it as incredible. Still, the issue is also one drawing attention outside of California. After threatening foster care for children in arrears and initially refusing a businessman's offer to cover lunch debt, a Pennsylvania school district in July didn't about face, saying it would accept donations to cover the meal tabs after all. And then in May, after a Rhode Island school district reversed its decision to start serving cold sandwiches instead of hot lunches to students whose families owe lunch money, Chobani CEO Hamdi Yulakaya offered to pay off their debts. Okay, is this going to be a thing now that instead of giving to hospitals or to parks or to universities or whatever you give charity to, you're giving money to pay off lunch debt of schools who already get reduced price lunches but fall behind on that? There was a case in it's in Ohio, swing state. The case of young Jefferson Sharpnack. That's his name. He was a new kid in school. And he had a very tough time starting at a brand new school because cafeteria staff at Green Primary School in Northeast Ohio took away his cheesy breadsticks in front of all his schoolmates because he had run out of money in his lunch account. And of course, this was eagerly covered in the Washington Post. And then it was also covered on CNN. Listen.
It was my birthday like a week ago, and I was at school. I was in lunch. I was getting ready to go sit at my table when the lunch lady took my cheesy breadsticks and went to the fridge and took out bread on cheese and put it on my lunch tray.
And how did that make you feel to have them take away your lunch right in front of your classmates?
Okay, hold on for a moment. Can we just stop for a moment? What he was just saying, and unless my understanding of his words is wrong, they took away his cheesy breadsticks. Okay, that's also reported by the Washington Post, so it must be true. They took away his cheesy breadsticks, and what did they give him? They gave him bread and cheese. Okay, it's the same thing. It's just prepared differently, right? I mean, what are cheesy breadsticks made out of? They're made out of cheese and bread. And I know, they're fried. And actually, probably the bread and cheese is better for you than the cheesy breadsticks. But he continued the narration of his ordeal.
Them take away your lunch right in front of your classmates. It hurt, no doubt about it. You're so brave to share this story with us.
I love the completely impartial reporting from CNN. They also spoke to the grandmother of young Jefferson Sharpnack. Her name is Diane Bailey.
Diane, I'm wondering how you found out about what happened and what your reaction was.
Well, I was waiting for him to get off the school bus because it was his birthday and he had taken in a snack and he was all excited. And when he got off that bus, he looked at me and said, "Worst birthday ever." I was a little irate. And they said they were sorry. And then I just felt bad because my 13-year-old grandson said it had happened to him before, the first week of school. But it wasn't his birthday, and I wasn't so excited about it, I guess. And then I realized that it happened to a lot of children at that school.
Right.
And I called the school and said, I really think something has to be done. There has to be a different policy. They aren't there to be humiliated. They're there to get an education. And I was upset.
Okay. Now, she says she had packed him special snacks. Was that the cheesy breadsticks? Was the school taking away something that had been given to him by his grandmother? Now, that would be outrageous if that happened. But I don't think that's the case. In any event, the conversation about his case and about the general policy has gone all over the country. And there's one school district in Cherry Hill, New Jersey, outside of Philadelphia, where they have tried to actually solve this thing. And the way they're solving it is saying, okay, if you're overdue on your school lunch payments, and there are people who haven't paid at all, and you'll still get the same hot meal, but you won't get the same frills. In other words, you won't get dessert. You may not get a salad. You get the same hot meal, not the same frills. Oh, yes, and then there's this. The new policy would also keep students who don't pay after repeated requests from going to the prom or participating in extracurricular activities generally. This won't stand. I feel for the school district. What exactly are you supposed to do? Now, the state of California, of course, they have this great agricultural industry. They have groves and groves of money trees where all you have to do is pick the bills off the money trees and send them into Sacramento, and they have unlimited money. Now, again, it's not entirely a joke. It's because Silicon Valley basically has been doing so well. Hollywood, at least Disney Studios, have been doing so well. They can keep ramping up the taxes and then, I guess, stop making a distinction between people who pay for their reduced price lunches. Jeremy just looked, and this is for Washington State, right? It's for a school district where a suburban regular middle-class suburban school district, actually a very nice suburb, but the school lunch breakfast for elementary students, it's $1.50 you're supposed to pay. For breakfast for secondary students, it's $1.75. And in elementary school, the lunch is $2.95. Okay, it's a pretty good deal. If you can't manage that, the $2.95 in secondary school, meaning high school, it's $3.75 for lunch. Now, this is without going into any of the government assistance programs. The problem is that there's a certain level of free lunches and free food provided, and then there's this other controversy, which is gigantic, about the Trump administration trying, and it seems to me very sensibly, to say, look, if you're already on the food stamps program, then there should be a limit to the amount of free food you get in school. And honestly, I think that what we're seeing here is something that I've been talking about on this show for the 23 years I've been on the air, is that we are going to come to a point where people consider it literally their right and their obligation to get all three squares at school. I notice they have a teacher strike in Chicago right now. And even though there's a teacher strike and kids are not going to school, they can still come to school and get their free food. Is this really have to do with the hunger problem we have in America? We don't have a hunger problem in America. Thank God. We used to. Right now, we have an overweight problem. Or do you believe that not to be true? This is all extraordinary. And it's too much. And the idea that somehow there's a bill, this is the bill that Gavin Newsom has signed into law in California, says students shouldn't be denied a meal of their choice because of unpaid fees. It also ensures that the pupil is not shamed or treated differently from other pupils. How do you enforce that if you're keeping records at all? Or are you just supposed to forget about the records and what a student may owe? Meanwhile, also from California, Julia Louis-Dreyfus, you know, still, I guess, best known because she was part of one of the most successful TV sitcoms in history, the Seinfeld show, has just let out a very public statement, and it absolutely, without question, earns a Golden Turkey Award.
Bigger than the Academy Awards.
First and foremost, I'd like to thank God.
Groovier than the Grammys.
I would like to thank my wonderful agent.
And more powerful than the People's Choice.
I would like to share this with every single senator.
Now, it's time for another Golden Turkey Award nomination.
Woohoo! Thank you so much!
Okay, she put out a Julia Louis-Dreyfus. She's never won an Oscar. I think it's probably at this stage of, who knows? You never know. In any event, she's out campaigning to have the Democrats win back 4 seats in Virginia's state legislature. That's in elections coming up this November. We're not talking about 2020. We're talking about 2019. Virginia has elections an odd number of years. And she issued the following plea on a video plea for money to help fund the Democratic campaigns. Listen.
Hey, did you know women don't have equal rights in the U.S. Constitution? Yeah, incredible, isn't it?
Yeah,
but it is. We can fix that by flipping Virginia's state legislature on November 5th. If we flip just 2 seats in each chamber, Virginia can become the 38th and final state to ratify the Equal Rights Amendment. And if that's not enough, census and redistricting are around the corner, so turning Virginia blue can help prevent gerrymandering for a decade.
No, it doesn't help prevent gerrymandering. What it would do would be to provide Democratic gerrymandering for a decade. First of all, she's wrong. There are all sorts of lawsuits about the attempt to try to put the Equal Rights Amendment over the line. Secondly, she's profoundly wrong about the Constitution. She sent out on Twitter, women don't have equal rights in the U.S. Constitution? That's insane. If we can flip just 4 seats in Virginia, we can finally ratify the Equal Rights Amendment to the U.S. Constitution. Go to impactslates.com to donate in one click. Under the 14th Amendment, women clearly do have equal rights. And under the 19th Amendment, where they got the right to vote. And the idea that women are denied rights that are reserved to men, it's the kind of insane paranoia that drives the international left. Meanwhile, one of the contentions of the left is movies, they don't have any impact on real life. Entertainment, nah. There's a story about a really silly movie that seems to have had a very real-world impact, and not in a good way. We'll get to that and more coming up on The MedVed Show. On The Michael MedVed Show, I mentioned a silly movie, and it's actually a very entertaining movie. It's a movie called Superbad, and the movie with Seth Rogen actually co-wrote it together with Evan Goldberg, I think it is, who's his writing partner. But the movie stars a number of young people, and they're playing high school kids. And one of the things that they do in the film is they actually, I know this sounds horrifying, and if they're kids listening, you might want to close their ears. They use fake IDs to buy beer. And one of the kids who's particularly nerdy, who's played by Christopher Mintz-Plasse, and this is a 2007 comedy, goes ahead and uses a fake ID only to discover it was a... the police ask him to show his ID, and it's a fake Hawaiian ID with the name McLovin. And it sounds like this in the film.
Wait, you changed your name to McLovin? McLovin? What kind of a stupid name is that, Fogel? What, are you trying to be an Irish R&B singer?
Oh, they let you pick any name you want when you get down there.
And you landed on McLovin. It doesn't even have a first name. It just says McLovin.
What? What name? What name? Who are you, Seal? I mean, it's up to you, Fogel. This guy's either going to think here's another kid with a fake ID, or here's McLovin, the 25-year-old Hawaiian organ donor. Okay? So what's it going to be?
I am McLovin.
Okay, that was Jonah Hill and Michael Cera. Here's the story. A young Iowan was arrested over the weekend. He's 20 years old. He was accused of carrying a fake ID. And the name on the ID? McLovin. According to the Iowa Press Citizen on October 11th, Daniel Burleson was arrested after police say they saw him drinking in a bar. They asked to see his ID. They confirmed he was underage. After taking him outside, the paper reports police say they asked to see the fake ID he used, only to discover it was a fake Hawaiian ID with the name McLovin. Now, I didn't know you could actually get McLovin IDs. I guess they would be widely available, but the police would probably be pretty hip to it. They were in Iowa. According to the Iowa Press Citizen, Burleson faces several alcohol-related charges. Judging by his mugshot, also published by the Press Citizen, he was generally amused by the whole thing. The mugshot, he's smiling. And then Seth Rogen, after this story made the rounds, and it turned out he used a McLovin fake ID. Seth Rogen, quote, went to the story, and he said, "My work here is done." Okay. Movies have no influence. And this is a film from 12 years ago, for goodness sake. I mean, it was when Jonah Hill and Michael Cera were little kids, not big-time actors. We also have a word about the, well, there are a couple of things from the fringes of weirdness. And one of the fringes of weirdness, a neo-Nazi group that promotes violence against people of color and Jews, is claiming responsibility for racist flyers that appeared outside a largely African-American church in Spokane. The flyers were taped to signposts and electrical poles near Morningstar Baptist Church this week. The local press says the flyers featured swastikas and other neo-Nazi symbols and messages such as, "It's okay to genocide subhumans." One flyer featured an image of Adolf Hitler. A group called the Feuerkrieg Division took credit for the flyers on the encrypted messaging app Telegram. Police say in Spokane that they're investigating the incident along with the FBI's local joint terrorism task force. The church has many black members and is home to a group called Spokane Community Against Racism. You really do have to wonder what the possible motivation, what you achieve with something like that. And speaking of what you achieve, this story, of course, you've probably seen the photograph. It's gotten a good deal of coverage of the very porky Kim Jong-un riding on a very magnificent-looking white horse. And it's cold outside. There's snow everywhere. So he's wearing heavy clothing, which, of course, makes him look even heavier. North Korean leader Kim Jong-un, riding white horse, galloped to the top of the country's tallest mountain, according to a report in state media, and delivered a blunt message aimed at the U.S. Our people's pain has turned into their anger. Mr. Kim's visit to Mount Paektu, the nation's most sacred mountain, which is believed in North Korea to be the birthplace of his late father, carries deep significance. He has traveled there previously before making decisions that are loudly trumpeted by state media. The North Korean leader blamed his country's hardships on the ceaseless sanctions and pressure from U.S.-led forces hostile to the North, according to the state media report. Mr. Kim has been calling for the country to be more self-reliant while sanctions batter the cash-strapped regime's economy. The very last time Mr. Kim appeared in state media visiting Mount Paektu, he was not on horseback then, was ahead of his New Year's address in 2018. During that speech, he extended an olive branch, said that North Korea was open to dialogue. Okay, is this riding up to the mountain again? Is this a way of saying he wants Trump to join him at the mountaintop? I guess you could call it a summit. I also today have a special guest in studio, and I wanted to acknowledge because he's somebody that I met just a couple of months ago. It's not actually even that far. It's a month ago in Jericho in Palestinian Authority. And his name is Tas Sada, and he is an author and a peace activist and a remarkable person who had one of the most remarkable businesses in Jericho and Palestinian Authority, which has some economic problems in Jericho, no?
Yeah, there is a lot of economic problem, and part of our work is to help economically by creating businesses there.
Yeah, and what you're doing with schools, teaching a message of peace and trying to deal with the corruption. I mean, some corruption in the Palestinian Authority?
A lot of it. A lot of it, sadly to say. But we try to focus on what good can we do to raise up a new generation of Palestinians that doesn't have the anti-Semitic attitudes.
Well, which is a wonderful thing. And you had a group of partially Jewish, but largely of Christian travelers, 150 of us, who you welcomed in a facility you can feed 1,000 people at once?
We could, yeah. Yeah. It's an amazing place. And we are so excited that you were there with your group.
Well, thank you. Thank you. And okay, so briefly, his books. One is called Once an Arafat Man, the true story of how a PLO sniper found a new life. And then the other is The Mind of Terror. A former Muslim sniper explores what motivates ISIS and other extremist groups. He's going to be speaking here. We'll post material about his tour in the Northwest coming right up. We will be right back. Look for that and also information about his books. Tas Sada, who is doing noble and courageous work. We will be right back on The Medved Show.
Become a Medhead and receive 50% off History Store downloads for all annual members. Join today at michaelmedved.com.
And when you go to michaelmedved.com, you can also find information about the two books I mentioned by our visitor today. Tas Sada, he has an organization called Lead with Love, which is a Christian-based organization that aims at changing hearts and building peace. And it's done, you can actually see on the ground and meet some of the people who've been impacted. It's a terrific ministry. Okay, Nancy Pelosi has a different kind of ministry. I don't think anyone would say that she has necessarily been leading with love recently. But I think it's terrific that Nancy Pelosi and Adam Schiff and a lot of the Democrats are sort of rediscovering the founding fathers and not writing them off as just a group of old white males. Listen.
Now, at the beginning of our country, Mr. Chairman, I know you've heard me say this a million times, so forgive me. At the beginning of our country, Thomas Paine said, this is the dark days of the revolution. He said, the times have found us. The times have found us. We think the times have found us now. You, Mr. Chairman, everyone in this room who sacrificed their time, resources, and the rest, not only to be here, but to be there for our candidates so that we can make a better future. And so here we are. None of us came to Congress to impeach a president. Not anybody. Not anybody. That's not what we are about. But we did take an oath to protect and defend the Constitution of the United States from all enemies, foreign and domestic.
They're protecting the United States against all enemies, foreign and domestic, and viewing President Trump as the enemy. Well, again, it's serious enough that the Washington Post reports this morning an air of inevitability has taken hold in Congress with the expectation that Trump will become the third president in American history to be impeached, and that Republicans need to prepare to defend the president. Well, Senator Mitch McConnell, Republican Majority Leader, briefed senators on what would happen during a Senate trial. House GOP leaders convened what they expect will be regular impeachment strategy sessions. In their closed-door weekly luncheon, McConnell gave a presentation about the impeachment process, and he fielded questions alongside his staff and Senate Judiciary Committee Chairman Lindsey Graham, Republican South Carolina, who was a manager in the 1998 impeachment of President Bill Clinton. Impeachment, of course, is the first step to remove a president, with the House voting on formal charges and the Senate holding a trial in which it either convicts or acquits him. And that trial is convened, presided over by the Chief Justice of the Supreme Court. You know why? Because otherwise, the guy who normally presides over the Senate is the vice president. And it's very uncomfortable if what you're talking about is a vice president being thrust into the presidency to have that same guy presiding over the trial of his potential predecessor. During the meeting, Graham lobbied his colleagues to consider a public declaration in a letter to House Speaker Nancy Pelosi, which would describe Trump's July 25th call with Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky, seeking an investigation into domestic political rival as unfortunate, but as unimpeachable. And the problem they have only 53 Republican senators, and they might not get all of them. The idea that this is all going to be happening so quickly, I think that at least is a bit reassuring. Meanwhile, not necessarily reassuring is the big new movie that is released on DVD and video on demand this week. It's a movie called Stuber. Why Stuber? Well, because Uber is part of the title. All is explained. And yes, it includes people who've starred in much better vehicles before. Here's Stuber.
Now, it's time for Medvid on Movies.
Kumail Nanjiani of The Big Sick plays an Uber driver who's basically hijacked by tough cop Dave Bautista of Guardians of the Galaxy in a wild pursuit of brutal drug dealers in the action comedy Stuber. New on DVD and video on demand.
Please be a five-star ride.
Uber?
Yeah.
Compton.
LAPD.
Let's go.
Or do you have a more specific address?
Compton!
Well, they go to Compton and all over the Los Angeles basin with plenty of killing and sadistic brutality, leaving plenty of corpses and brutal injuries in their path. There are also subplots involving the cop's embarrassed daughter, played by Natalie Morales, and the sexy object of the driver's affections, Betty Gilpin.
Official police business.
Official police business?
Just going to see a friend.
Take this.
Oh, I am not touching that.
It's a baby gun. It allows you to fire it while crying.
Stop it!
You got shot in the leg.
Good for you, man. You shot your first guy.
He kidnapped me. We killed some people.
The two stars create vivid characterizations, and there are a few moments of humor and emotion in their interaction. But the plot is ridiculous, and the R-rated violence is much too graphic and incessant to support Stuber's comedic intentions. The title, by the way, is inventively based on the Kumail Nanjiani character's first name of Stu, combined with his job driving for, well, Uber. You got it? You won't get much joy or entertainment, however, from Stuber. Two stars.
For more movie reviews, go to michaelmedved.com.
And there's a very complicated adventure movie unfolding. We just had a caller who was pondering, as I think everybody is in the country, what's going to happen with the 2020 presidential race? Anyone who predicts anything with certainty is wrong. I do think that right now, especially considering the divided state of the Democrats and the likelihood that impeachment is going to help to mobilize support for President Trump, I think it would be tough to bet against him. However, you never know. And frankly, I think that the president and his allies need to handle the impeachment better. It has not been a good week for the president, though obviously it means a lot that the negotiations that Vice President Pence conducted seem to have gone as well as they did. Next time on the Medved Show, there's a stunning number from the CDC, the Centers for Disease Control. And that's a government agency. They found that youth suicide in America, meaning people below the age of 18 taking their own lives, has increased 56% in one decade. Why? We will get to that. This is not overdoses. This is suicide. And a lot of it with firearms, some of it not. It's not a firearm problem. It is a human problem. And it is a human problem that partially involves keeping people from harming themselves, which is not easy. There's also, speaking about people harming themselves, there's this lavish and very admiring article in the New York Times, which you have to get to the bottom of. It's insane, about people using this psychedelic that makes them extremely ill, vomiting and voiding themselves and having visions. Okay, what does it go to? The idea that religion is on decline as more and more adults check none when they're asked what their religious faith is. We shouldn't lose faith, not in the universe, and certainly not in this greatest nation on God's green earth.